this week's Up and Running. Coming up on this morning's show, we're going to chat with Usheen Brady, and Usheen has a business that he started during COVID, and it's Armada Timberworks, and it's based in Grange in County Sligo. We're then going to be joined by Adele McSharry. Adele is a committee member with the Friends of Sligo University Hospital, and she's going to tell us about a ladies' evening that's being held next Friday night, that's the 17th, in the Radisson in Sligo. But first this morning, we're going to speak with Mark Foley, and he is the CEO of AirGrid.
Up and Running with Claire Ronan on Ocean FM.
And this morning, I'm delighted to be joined by Mark Foley, and Mark is the CEO of AirGrid. Good morning, Mark, and thank you very much indeed for joining us on this morning's Up and Running.
Delighted to be here. Thank you.
Okay. Now, we must not get confused about AirGrid. Would you mind explaining to me and the listeners what exactly AirGrid does?
In very simple terms, what we do is we manage the electricity system across the island of Ireland, meaning we make sure your lights stay on and you have the service that you have been so used to over the last 50 to 60 years. That's our job, number one. Our second job is to plan the electricity system of the future, and that is to ensure the system is robust and capable of meeting your needs going forward. And of course, going forward, those needs are increasingly about green energy rather than dirty fossils, which has been our legacy and our heritage in the last 100 years.
And as a matter of interest, how are we doing with regards to the green energy?
By international standards, Ireland is doing exceptionally well, something I think we don't give ourselves enough credit for. Back in 2007-2008, a coalition government between Fianna Fáil and the Green Party set an ambition for 40% of all of Ireland's electricity to come from renewables by 2020. Most people thought they were mad. It was pious green aspirations. It would never happen. And guess what? It was delivered. The number for 2020 was 43%. And now the government has set an ambition for 80%. Just think about it, 80% of all of our electricity to come from renewables by 2030. I'm telling you today, that is possible, that is achievable. We're halfway there. We've done it before. We can do it again.
Okay, well, I just wanted to ask you about that, because the EPA report came out last week clearly stated that that wasn't going to happen.
So you have to think of the reduction in carbon, not just from the electricity system, but across the economy. So electricity is a critical component, and one could argue is being asked to do a lot of the heavy lifting. The electricity proposition is definitely deliverable, but of course we have to deliver across the other sectors of the economy. Agriculture, which is quite controversial, which I don't believe I'm competent to speak about, but there are very significant challenges in agriculture, which is a big emitter of carbon. There is heat, there is transport, there is industrial, you know, businesses, etc. So it's a complex proposition. But I think the solution around electricity is very well worked out, and AirGrid is at the centre of the electricity transformation, which is as big as, if not bigger, than the original rural electrification programme, which came to Ireland 70, 80 years ago.
I think people would be very interested to note that AirGrid works in a countrywide fashion. You work with Sony in Northern Ireland. I don't think a lot of people will know that. This is very impressive.
I suppose we're both pleased and privileged to be part of the most successful exemplar in North-South collaboration since the Good Friday Agreement back in 1998. This was a brilliant concept by the political system in Ireland, the UK and Northern Ireland, to join up the electricity system and to take a singular, efficient, customer-oriented view of the provision of electricity as a service across the island of Ireland. And it has delivered very significantly in the last 15 years. I think it's a precious thing we have, and we must make sure we protect it and keep it into the future, notwithstanding Brexit and indeed, I suppose, the negative narrative around the Northern Ireland Protocol. But it works, it's delivering, and I'd like it to see become more successful into the future.
It's very impressive. Also, there's been a lot of talk of the fact that maybe in the future, or positively in the future, Ireland will finally be able to export electricity.
I think this is the area where I'm most excited in the next decade, because Ireland has an abundance of renewable energy resource. So when we hit that magic target of 80% renewables by 2030, what are we going to do with all the additional resource? And completely untapped from Donegal all the way around to Cork, there is an abundance of resource that Ireland simply does not have the need for. The Celtic Interconnector, which we got planning for 2 weeks ago, is the start of connecting into mainland Europe. France is now our closest EU neighbour. I think this is the first of many projects where we will see Ireland as this wonderful green hub of a natural resource that is going to be supplying a significant portion of Western Europe. So this is all to play for. And we will lead out later this year on a major study to create a vision for Ireland's opportunity in this space.
Well, that is very interesting. And I just want to remind you out there this morning, I'm joined by Mark Foley, and Mark is the CEO of AirGrid. We will be welcoming your team to Sligo very soon. And this is very important for those of you who are interested in the future of the electricity supply in the Northwest, but for lots of other reasons. Tell me how you came upon these roadshows, why you started to come out to the public.
Very simply, if we don't engage the people of Ireland in the conversation about how we deal with the climate change challenge, and it is the existential challenge of our lifetime, then we're going to fail. It's that simple. And we came up with the notion around getting out there, talking to people, educating people, listening to people about the energy transition, and getting their voice, our Shaping Our Electricity Future proposition, which we launched at COP26 last November in Glasgow, was hugely predicated on a listening exercise with communities far and wide, youth, citizens' assemblies, businesses, etc. We must engage the people of Ireland in the energy transition, otherwise we're going to fail, because if people don't understand, don't buy in, then they're going to object to projects because they won't see the context. I live in Wicklow. An offshore wind farm is going to be built literally a couple of kilometres from where I live. That is good. That is positive. That'll heat my home and that'll fuel my car. We need people to understand the connection between that piece of infrastructure and a modern low carbon way of living and working. The roadshows are about that engagement, getting the conversation going and asking people for their views.
Okay, well, this roadshow is taking place on the 21st of June in the Sligo Park Hotel. It's called Shaping Our Electricity Future. And there will be a number of information and exhibitors giving advice on energy and community supports. We have the Air Grid, we have the Western Development Commission, and we have the ESB Networks. I think it will be very worthwhile people coming along, meeting the exhibitors, especially people, for example, who want to retrofit their house. There'll be people there from the SEAI. It's a good way of you bringing your business out to the public.
And to add to your list, SEAI are incredibly important. They are a really, really visionary organisation. They are at the frontier of the engagement with the public. They have massive resources to help you grant aid and fund the transition of your home, etc. Please come along. Please learn. Please listen. Please educate yourself. You are going to be excited, and I think you're going to be inspired by what you hear, and you're going to think about how you change the way you live, the way you drive, the way your home functions when you go to this exhibition. It's a fantastic example around how state agencies can work in harmony. ESB, AirGrid, SEAI, local communities, local development companies can start to think in an integrated and holistic way about how we drive this transition. Please come along.
Okay, well, you heard it here first. So that is Mark Foley. He is the CEO of AirGrid. If you want to listen back to this, it is up on a podcast on the website, oceanfm.ie, and wherever you listen to your podcast. Now, if you want to book in for this, as I said earlier, 21st of June at the Sligo Park Hotel, and it's airgrid.ie/shaping. Mark Foley, CEO of AirGrid, thank you very much indeed for joining us on this morning's Up and Running.
Thank you. Delighted to be here.
Up and Running with Claire Ronan on Ocean FM.
And this morning, I am delighted to be joined by Usheen Brady, another new business. And this business is called Armada Timber Works, and it is based out in Grange in County Sligo. Good morning, Usheen, and thank you very much indeed for joining us on this morning's Up and Running.
Hi, Claire. Thanks very much for having me.
Well, I have to say that I was trawling through Facebook and your work caught my eye because it's absolutely beautiful. So, Usheen, before you start telling us about the wonderful work you do, how did this whole business come about for you?
I suppose the business started beginning of last year, and it was just out of boredom from COVID, I suppose. And I have a love for timber. And I used to have a part-time job cooking, so I suppose I combined the two of them together and started making chopping boards and serving boards and such. And that really sparked the whole business idea for me.
You now have built the business further than just doing chopping boards. You're now making bespoke cabinets.
Yeah, I suppose we're getting into painted and solid timber cabinets that will be fitted for your individual needs and such like that. And I suppose there'll be a big interest in having the cabinets to the customer's exact needs.
So you can go out and measure up the area that the cabinet has to fit into.
Yeah, so I suppose the process would start by a customer getting in contact, and we'd kind of get an idea of what the customer wants, and then we'd set up a meeting at the customer's house or location. And then we do some initial sketches and measurements, and then we do some 3D renderings for the customer so we can go through colors, types of timbers, etc. like that. And it just gives the customer an idea of what their finished product will look like before we actually make it. And once the customer is happy, then we can proceed with making and fitting the units.
Okay, so just tell me what 3D rendering is.
We personally use SolidWorks. So we can just make up the item in 2D and extrude and extract parts, which is kind of pushing and pulling. And then we can use this 3D rendering software on SolidWorks, which will give a realistic rendering of how the project will actually look like.
So when I order my product, my cabinet, my radiator cabinet, my bespoke unit, say for my TV or whatever, or my chopping board, you can actually show me on the computer exactly what it's going to look like when it's built.
Yeah, so it'll be pretty close to what you're going to receive in the end. And it's just a great way for the customer to be able to see. And there might be something that might be caught in the initial designing that when you make up the 3D rendering that you find out, and the customer might say, oh, can we change that? Or I really like that. Can we see more of that in the final design?
Fantastic. Now tell me, you also have a laser machine. What are you using that for?
Yeah, so I suppose we use the laser for cutting out shapes, and we can also use it for on our cutting boards to engrave writing and images, etc.
Okay, so what that means is that Usheen, who has started by specialising in chopping boards, now they're really lovely. They come in apple shape, or you can have any shape you like. You can have the shape of Sligo or Ben Bulbin or whatever you like. You can also use the laser to print a sketch or a name or something on the top of the chopping boards.
Yeah, so we actually have one design where we use the laser to engrave Ben Bulbin and then Ben Bulbin's name in Irish on top. And that's really popular on some of our cutting and serving boards. But we also use this on our natural slate serving plates, which are really popular at the minute. And these can also have some solid oak underneath, and they're just really hard wearing placemats for your dinner table.
They're really lovely. They're like dark slate on top of beautiful wood. And I mean, the ones I have seen have the image of Ben Bulbin. What a beautiful wedding 50th, 40th, 60th present.
Yeah, people seem to really like them, and they make a great gift when you're just stuck sometimes, and it's just everyone loves them.
And the other thing is the chopping boards as well. Just some of them I was looking at on Facebook. Oisin has also, you can print the name of your house, you can print your own name or the name of a couple who are getting married, or you can have a design of Ben Bulbin or some area of Sligo that you really enjoy. The chopping boards are really flying for you.
Yeah, they are. And a lot of people just end up getting the family name or something like that on them. Or we made one before for a man up in Lough Carra. So he got the outline of Lough Carra Lake up there in Galway. So that was really nice.
How beautiful is that? Oisin, you're also doing, as we said earlier, the bespoke cabinet. So if you have an awkward corner or you have part of your house that you need to put some television in, or you just want to get some storage, that's really what you're doing a lot of as well.
It's the individual once-off pieces that we really excel at. And it's like fitting into your corner, and we'd use curved doors, etc. like that, to get around them awkward spaces and to fulfill the needs of the customer.
So, Oisin, this business you started as a result of COVID, have you looked back?
No, not at all. It's probably one of the best decisions I've made.
Isn't that fantastic? Again, another person who overcame adversity by doing this. Now, you've obviously invested a lot of money in your business, but it's paying off, is it?
A lot of money, and more importantly, a lot of time goes into setting up the business and just thinking things through and getting prepared for each job and making it individual.
Well, there you go. And that is Oisin Brady. And Oisin's business is Armada Timberworks. He's based in Grange in County Sligo. Anyone from Sligo, Leitrim or Donegal who is interested in a very personal present, a chopping board, or I mean, he's, as he said, he's making bespoke cabinets, radiator covers. He can laser on any your chopping board. He also is doing slate placemats that are set on top of wood, and he can put names or an image or whatever you want on of those, and it makes them very personal. You can contact him on both Instagram or Facebook, and that is Armada Timberworks. And I'm going to give you his number now, which is, just run and grab a pen, it's 085 161 7002. You can give him a text or a call at that number if you're interested in anything that he is making. Well, Oisin, congratulations. Very brave of you to have a new business and invest so much time and money into it. And we wish you the very best of luck with it. And thank you very much indeed for joining us this morning on Up and Running.
Thanks very much, Claire.
Up and Running with Claire Ronan on Ocean FM.
And this morning, I am delighted to be joined by Adele McSharry. And Adele is a committee member for the Friends of Sligo University Hospital. Good morning, Adele. And thank you very much for joining us on this morning's Up and Running.
Good morning, Claire. And thank you for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to interview you about something else rather than politics. But this is a great event that is taking place on the 17th of June. So if you fancy a girls' night out, please stay tuned for the next couple of minutes. But before we get to that, Adele, would you mind explaining to us what the charity, the Friends of Sligo University Hospital, what do you actually do?
Okay, so what we actually are all about is our job is to fundraise to support Sligo University Hospital to enhance the quality of care and services there. So anything that isn't funded by the HSE and the hospital itself. So the type of projects that they've already done, this charity have already funded, are the bereavement unit in the maternity unit, bereavement suite there, and then the they've also helped to fund the recently opened diabetic unit, the buddy beds for peds, for the parents to stay over there with the children, the bus up and down to Galway, lots of equipment, beds, and many other projects that they funded over the years. And we have unfortunately had no fundraising over the last 2 years. A lot of people will fundraise for us across the whole community and give generous of their time, but that hasn't actually happened. So we're going to kickstart our fundraising again, and we have several projects that are need to be done in Sligo University. Among them is the renal dialysis unit that needs to be expanded, and there's lots of other patient comfort offered. It's really to improve the patient's experience, the family's experience, and we're the charity that helped to do that, to provide the funds to do that.
So basically, Adele, what you're saying there is that this charity, the Friends of Sligo University Hospital, their role is to help the hospital to become more comfortable for the people who are using it. I mean, when you mentioned the buddy beds, I remember myself being with one of my children in hospital and lying on the floor beside them, you know. So even those small things, they just make such a difference to people. And explain just to the listeners there, just to give people an idea, the room that you have funded for in the maternity wing, tell me about that.
Okay, so that's Solace Beg. It's a room there for mums and dads who have lost their babies or getting bad news, and it's a safe space for them in a very busy unit. And it's just a godsend. I mean, it just makes that journey. It's the first step of the grieving process to give them time and space. And it was the Friends who fundraised for that unit, and the midwives and all of the hospital staff have found that really beneficial. And I'm sure the people who unfortunately have been in that position to avail of that room.
Okay, so Adele, you are raising money for the Sligo University Hospital, and by doing so, you're going to have a great event on the 17th of June. So check out your diaries now. Tell us what's happening on the 17th of June.
Well, we are going to have a fabulous event with fun, fashion and flair here in the Radisson Blue Hotel. And we have a great lineup of entertainment on the night. So first off, we have the Notorious Four, which will be entertaining us as we have a drinks reception on arrival. And of course, it's going to be midsummer at that time. So hopefully the sun will be shining on the here in Ross's Point. So, and then following then we have our guest speaker, Dr. Orla Flynn, the recently appointed president of the new Atlantic Technological University. Very exciting, a female president who'll come and speak with us all about what's going on and all the opportunities in the Atlantic Technological University. And then we have our own Celine Daly, who's actually works in the hospital as a clinical nurse specialist, but she is nationally now known as a dermatology expert on all things skin. She can answer your questions, and she's going to talk a little bit about aging and then answer any questions from the floor. And then we'll also have Sarah Middleton's dance troupe and a fashion show from Anna's Fashion. I have to say, love the clothes there, and I don't think there could be a woman in Sligo that wouldn't love the clothes there, and Zodie's shoes. And I also have, unfortunately, a thing for shoes, and the shoes there are fabulous too. So and lots more. It's going to be a great night. The food, we'll have a lovely buffet, glass of wine, dessert, and more. They'll just be fun with your girlfriends and your lady friends.
And how much are the tickets, Adele?
€50. And you can book them on Eventbrite. Just Google Eventbrite, Google Lady Soiree Sligo, and it'll just come up. And you can go in there and book one ticket or multiples of tickets. We're going to have tables of 8 to 10. You can email info@friendsofsligohospital.ie to say exactly who you want to sit beside. So, it's very simple to do, actually, just straight on Eventbrite and do it now. We need to have something to celebrate post-COVID, and no better thing than a ladies' event.
Absolutely. It is going to be a wonderful night and great fun. So if you're in a book club or you have a gang of pals that you haven't seen for a long time, because it has been difficult to get together, the 17th of June in the Radisson Hotel, Adele is telling us about a wonderful ladies' soiree. And as she said there, it's eventbrite.ie. And if you want any more information, or if you would care to maybe donate a little prize for the raffle, it's info@friendsofsligohospital.ie. Adele McSharry, the very best of luck with your event, and thank you very much indeed for joining us on this morning's Up and Running.
Thank you very much, Claire.
That's it for this week's Up and Running. Thanks to all my guests this morning, and most importantly, thanks to you for listening. Niall Delaney is up next with the best of this week's Northwest Today. If you would like to listen back to any of this show, you can go to oceanfm.ie, click podcast, or you can also find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Ocean FM Ireland. Until next week, thanks for listening.